I wanted to take a look at Birchas Hamazon. Birchas Hamazon is very, very unique. And it's very, very easy, due to the halachic structure, to forget the uniqueness of Birchas Hamazon. Midoraisa, it is the only bracha that we know with certainty that it exists, the Birchas Hamazon. Bracha Rishayna, overwhelmingly in the Rishayna, it would seem to be in the Ritva, in the Sefer Anuchas Brachas, an exception, but overwhelmingly, Bracha Rishayna is stated to be Midrabbanan. That's what the halacha assumes. Tefillah is a debate. The Rambam says Tefillah is deraisa. Many Rishonim say Tefillah is derabbanan. Rambam and others. Birchas HaMitzvah is also generally assumed to be derabbanan, but the Rosh Sheet is apparently that whole that Birchas HaMitzvah is deraisa. But the only bracha that clearly and absolutely minatar is Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaTorah is Midoraisa too, but I'm not talking that as a bracha, but not a different type of bracha, really, than what we're talking about. But I'm talking generally, it's true, but in the context of brachas, in terms of Birchas Hanenen, brachas which are oriented around man's benefit and pleasure in this world, it is certainly the only one that's clearly it's Minatara, with very, very few exceptions of brachas that are Minatara. Now, we lose sight of that at times because the Rabbanan instituted very broadly brachas on everything. But the yisod in reality is Birchas HaMazon. And that's really the prototype for all the other brachas draw from Birchas HaMazon. Now, Tefillah, according to the Rambam, the structure of Tefillah is Minatara. It starts with a portion of Shevach, praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It continues with the central body of Bakoshas, requests, and concludes with Haido. And the Rambam indicates it's Minatara, and these all have sources in the Torah itself where it stems from, where they stem from. But Haido is the concluding element of Tefillah. Birchas HaMazon is Kulo Haido. Solely for the function of Haido. Tefillah is anticipation. We anticipate what's going to be. We ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for certain things before we experience them. Haido is the ultimate expression of Tefillah. Because Haidah is recognizing the Rabbeinu Shalom in a very concrete sense, things that have happened. Not things that I want to happen, things that are abstract, but concrete realities. Well, that's where we end Shmon Esrei. That's the essence of Birchas HaMazon, is to give praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom in very concrete terms. We experience benefit in this world. And we give praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom in a very broad manner for all the gifts that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us. But this is the yisoid of Birchas HaMazon. It's rather interesting that in the text that we have for the Birchas HaMazon, so we have three brachas, Hazon, Noyid Alachom, Rachaim, which are Midoraisa. We have one bracha which is Midorabbanan, Atov Ameitiv. Birchas HaMazon, in reality, ends at La'olam HaYichasarayim. At the end of Birchas HaMazon, it's over, finished. Now, what is everything that we find in the Siddur from La'olam HaYichasarayim until the end of Benching? What's that all about? There are various requests that we make of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Why, at the end of Birchas Hamazon, do we have these requests? Birchas Hamazon is over, so what's this lengthy addition to the Birchas Hamazon, which comes after the Birchas Hamazon? In the Chabad Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Livracha comments in one place that after we've given Hagdah to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have the ability to be mispalo to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, after, this is the Hagdah Duraisa that a person can give, after that, we have a lengthy series of bakoshas that we make of the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is commensurate, this is in keeping with an idea that I've explored other times, the Balbim. In the end of the Haftarah and Parashat Hazino, Alkein Oyidecho B'Hashem Magoyim V'Shimcha Azameh Magdil Yishuvos Malko V'Zechesed M'Shlicha L'Dagur L'Zaro Adayla. So what's the connection of these two psukim? Alkein Oyidecho Hashem Magoyim V'Shimcha Azameh. I'll give praise at the end of Shiras Dovid. Then it says Magdil Yishuvos Malko V'Zechesed M'Shlicha. Intensified the Yeshua that he gives to me. What's the connection between those two? So the Malbim in his commentary tells us that commensurate with the Hidor that we give to the Rabbeinu Shalom, exactly commensurate with that is the power of Bakosha that we have. And therefore, after Dovid HaMelech gives praise to the Rabbeinu Shalom, he acknowledges everything that Rabbeinu Shalom has done for him, then he's opened a new window on Tefillah. And therefore, the very conclusion of Shiras David is Magdil Yeshua's Malka, or the Chesed of Mashiach. I'm asking for the intensification of the Chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So, this the Chofetz Chaim tells us, this is the Yesod, this is the essence of what takes place from Har Adonai, from begin the Harachmans and Birchas Hamazon. We've concluded the Haidah, and from the Haidah, we go into Bakosha again. We have this in Shmon Esrei as well, because we have a very, the order of Shmon Esrei is very peculiar. After Atoy Shimcha Lachon Ha'el HaHidot, Ritzei is a Bakosha for Kabbalah Tatvila. Rav Yoshe Ber Salavetzer, Gzeich HaTadik Lebrocha, even puts it in terms of asking the Rabbeinu Shalom to treat it as a korban. That's the meaning he learns of the Bracha of Ritzei. Then we give Haidah to the Rabbeinu Shalom, meaning for all the tefillahs that he's answered for us until now, we offer Maidah. All of a sudden, we come back to Sim Shalom Tov Bracha, a new request. So why didn't we place Sim Shalom together with all the other Bakashas in Shmon Esrei before Shema Kaleinu? It got pushed all the way to the end of the line. But as Chazal tell us in Seif Uktzen, in the end of Shas, that the ultimate bracha is Shalom. Because without Shalom, we don't have anything. And therefore, Birchas Kayanim ends with Shalom. Tefillah ends with Shalom. This is the greatest bracha that we seek from the Rabbeinu Shalom. When are we mispala for that bracha? That's after Haidah. After we've given Haidah, and now we have the greatest chus for Tefillah, now we first turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom Sim Shalom Tayyibu Baruchu. So now we save it at the very, very end, because it's the most significant bakosha that we make of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We find, very, very interestingly, Gemara says in Brachos that Yisa Hashem Ponav Elecha. So the world is the kasha. Is of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yisra Hashem, the Siyas Ponem, means to be very solicitous of someone. So is this appropriate for the Rabbeinu Shalom? Or is Hashem lo Yisra Ponem? The Rabbeinu Shalom is not a Noisei Ponem. So the Gemara answers that I was mitzavah them v'yachalto v'savoto v'erachto, and they were machmer ad kizayis v'ad kibaya. And therefore, I'm not saying upon him the glorious. That's the Gemara. So the Shaila on the Gemara is very simply This is interesting. It's a Din d'Rabbanan. Okay. And Klai Yisrael chose to expand on the Din d'Raisa and enact certain aspects, well, according to most poskim, which are Midrabbanan, Kazayas, and Kubayas, Midrabbanan. As was the only today sphere when a person is fully satiated is the Mechuyim Ratara, according to most Rishonim. So the question is, the Chronim raised, there are numerous Darabonim in which we expanded upon Dinei D'Raisa. So why B'dafka, if the Rabbanim wants to show the devoted, how devoted Klal Yisrael is, that we expand upon the Dinei D'Raisa? So, very simply. Very simple. So show us a million Darabonim. We have Neres Chanukah. We have all types of things which are with Darabonim. Expansions of mitzvahs Daraisa. So why particularly did they choose this one? I once heard Rav Avraham Trump, the Zechatalik Gevrocha, the father-in-law of the Rosh Yeshiva Chabad Chaim. He said, the reason that Chazal chose to highlight this particular Darabonim, what was the motivation of Klal Yisrael to do it? The motivation to do it is that Min HaTorah were only mechuyev to give vaydoah for kedei sviya, one more full. But the regish, the emotional feeling we have is that how is it conceivable that we have benefited from this world and we won't give thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom? Our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom is such that it's inconceivable that we should not give thanks to him, no matter how small the benefit that we got. And that's what pushed this halacha. It's not just a takana. It's driven by a philosophical statement, by an attitude of appreciation of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom answers. How could it be that I have a special place for Klal Yisrael? Klal Yisrael has a special chavivus, a special love of the Rabbeinu Shalom. That motivates us. For that reason, we give thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom even for the smallest thing that he gives us. We can't overlook it. Our attachment to the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't allow us to overlook it. But the Rabbeinu Shalom says, a Klal Yisrael that has such attachment to me, that couldn't bear to benefit from this world without offering thanks. So the response to that is Yisrael Hashem Tona B'lecha. And it's B'davk in Birchus HaMozim, because Birchus HaMozim was an expression of Haidon. The halachas are very, very complex of Birchus HaMozim. We don't even have, as I mentioned, clear agreement in the Rishonim what the din is for what the shir for Birchas HaMozim Min HaTorah is. The Shulchan Aruch writes Shir Achilo Levaruch Aleinu Birchas HaMozim B'Kazayas. The end of Siman Kuf Pei Dalet. To Kazayas. So the Chofetz Chaim explains Hainu Midrabbanan Midrais and Chayav Levaruch Birchas HaMozim Kim Kishochol Dafko Shir Sfiyo. He has to eat an amount which really makes a person feel satisfied. Shenema Bechalto B'Savoto V'Rachto. Now, he does have a lengthy piece in the Bi'ur Halacha that the Mechaber Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, that would seem to be the view of most Rishonim, that until a person eats Kedei Tzvi'ah, there's no Chiyuv Min HaTorah. And one of the basis of the Chofetz Chaim's conclusion that that's what the Shulchan Aruch holds. He writes the following, which stems from a Gemara Brochus. This is Kun Kuf Pei Vav Sif Beis. Kotten Chayiv Midrabbanon. A Kotten is Mechuyiv Midrabbanon to recite the Birchas HaMozim. Kedei Lechancha, for the purpose of being Mechanecha Mitzvah. Bahi De Ben Mevorach La'Ovet. Now we have the principle in the Gemara which elucidates the fact that a son may make a Brocha, apparently a minor son, may make a Brocha for his father. It's kishalei ochel la'ov kidei sviya. It's in a situation when the father did not eat the full meal's worth. She'enu chayiv ela midrabbanan. That is only mechuyiv midrabbanan. So he writes, Kishlo Ochal Av Kidei Sviyah Volam Ochal Av Kidei Sviyah. If the father would have eaten Kidei Sviyah, Shechayev Levorach Man HaTayro, Ein Ben Al-Kotin Shemukhoyim Rach Man Darabon Ani Ochal Otsiyah. He would not be able to be Maitiyah. So here we see clearly that when does the father's chiyah become an atayra? When he reaches Gidei Sriyah. If the Shulchan Aruch would hold it, that the chiyah with the raisa was when he had a kezayas, so then the son would not be able to be made to have a kezayas either. So the Shulchan Aruch clearly holds that the din is Gidei Sriyah. No, it's a lot more than a bay. Much more. It's a full meal. Right, yeah, it depends. It's not, it's generally a lot more than a bay for the average person. You know, the size of one egg, you know, the size of more than a slice and a half of bread. People usually eat more food than that for a full meal, for dinner, for example. No, it doesn't have to be a huge, no, it doesn't have to be, it's what a person normally eats. To be satisfied. Hang on. And yet, as the Chofetz Chaim points out, this sheet is not absolute. It's not absolutely so that it has to be Kedei Sviyah. And he cited many Rishonim which hold from this view. He says, I am Bireyim, Rabbi Lezer emits the Daitim and Atara Sogi because I am. He's of the Shita that one Kezias is enough to be Mechuyah Menatar. Mechayin Kosev Hashem Akadron of Huna is Kala. It's the view of the Ravid, the Rajba, the view of the Ramban, one of the Bali Taisus. So there's a significant body of Rishonim that say that we are Mechuyah Menatar even Kezias. I mean to point this out only in the care that we should take in the recitation of Birchas Hamazon. Someone once called Rav Yankov Kamenetsky, his Rebbe, and Aleh HaShalom, into the phone. And she told him that the Rav just started to bench. She should call back a little later. So he said, he wants to hold on. He said, I suggest that you call back. He said, no, I'll hold on. About 15 minutes later, you know, she picked up the phone to tell him that he hadn't finished benching yet. She said, I suggested to you that you call back later. You know, the chashivas that he had for Birchas Hamazon. Now that chashivas we ought to have even by a kezayas. Because many Rishonim say that's also a mitzvah min haTorah. You have an armful of Rishonim, literally, that hold it to me as a kezayas. It's also Birchas Hamazon derived. Now, how to measure Kedei Sviyah is, again, according to the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch, and most Rishonim, there's no absolute scale for it, as he points out. If you have a person that's ill, or a person that's elderly, that has a very small appetite, or a person, a younger person, but shekvar ochel mikodem, he ate already earlier. Shalosh Shudas at this time of the year is a good example. By the time you finish, by the time I finish eating, you know, ideally you have a chance to rest before Mark knocks on the door. He escorts me to the Shia. So by the time I come to Shalosh Shudas, a Kizayas is Kidei Sviya. Rusaveya, Yidei Kizayas, or Bechabeya. A small amount is already is enough that he's. Is the kuliyam of mechuyim and atara levarach. In that situation, then that's midaraisa. Everyone holds that you mechuyim and atara. Kevin the mikomokam usaveya. And this he quotes from the Radvaz. The Radvaz was a rov who lived in Mitzrayim in Egypt, and he died in the latter part of the 15th century. And he has an unusual amount of tshuvas, published tshuvas. And it was a very, very profound effect on the development of the halacha. It's very, very widely quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Achrayim. So this is his view, that as long as a person gets full, for whatever reason he's full, but he's mechuyah min haTorah. this is this gives us somewhat of a dimension of what the field of Birchas HaMazon is, how far it goes. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, I'm going to read to you this halacha. Kuf Pei Dalet. We'll realize another reason for this in a moment. I was once sitting with an Adam Choshev. I went to visit him. And when I came, he was getting there. He was just finishing lunch as I arrived at his house. Just the two of us were there. And for the reason that I came, it was apparent that we were going to be there for quite a lengthy amount of time. Yes. So as I came, he finished eating. And he started to rush the bench. So I just asked him, just curiously, like, what was his rush to bench? You know, nobody's going anyplace, you're not leaving soon. So what's the big hurry to bench? And he looked at me, almost with surprise, and he said, it's poshut. I finished eating, I'm a chuyiv in Birchas HaMazon, so this reason my dream in the mitzvah. I have a chance to do a mitzvah, so I'm a chuyiv to do it right away. Shouldn't put it off. Birchas HaMazon is sometimes, for whatever the reason, somewhat of a stepchild. It's the one bracha that's min haTorah, but there's probably no bracha which suffers from more procrastination than Birchas HaMazon. And it's, we'll see, almost reflected in the next halacha we're going to read as well. But besides the consideration of the following halacha, the basic consideration of Zrizim Makdim and the Mitzvahs, that's enough reason that we should bench right away and put off whatever else is going to come next until after benching. Now the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Pei Dalet Sifhei, at Eimos HaYochel Baruch, till what point can you make Birchas HaMazon? I mean, you procrastinated so long, so what's the outer limit of procrastination for Birchas HaMazon? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Achi Yitzakel HaMazon Shemameyo, until he's digested the food that he ate. The Kama Shemura. So how do you judge that? It's called Zman She'eino Ro'ov Machmas Oysa Achila. If he doesn't feel hungry yet from the food that he's eaten, in other words, he has no desire to eat again, he doesn't feel hunger, he feels quite satisfied still, he's still able to bench. When we show Shehischol Yisroel, and from the time he starts to feel an urge to eat again, Avo Bishon Rosh Akal Adayim Begamrei, even though it hasn't been fully digested, it's Kines Akal Begamrei, in Dainin Alay. V'chein Nami, L'inyan Achilas Peiros Ashtiyas Yayin, if we're not dealing with Birchas HaMazon, but anything else which a person ate or drank, I mean, Aroi, V'lo Tzomo, the Tov Lois and Peiros, if he's not hungry or thirsty, has any desire to eat that which he ate already, it doesn't mean he wouldn't eat something else that he gave him, but he had his fill of what he ate until now. The toy of lois and peris nivorof, and then a yodei of the shire and this akla, if he doesn't know how to evaluate if it's digested or not. And we'll come back to this latter part. So the first part, first then let's take a look at the beer of the Chofetz Chaim. How to gauge this. At Amos, Amisha Shochaf will obey after the Elkoi. Because I'm talking about someone that forgot and didn't recite the Birchas HaMazon and remembered later. This already, the Chofetz Chaim indicates to us that we should really avoid the Chatzilah winding up in this situation. It's called Manchin Aroiv, the La'achar Kach for Botel Oiso Achilo. That means the effect of that eating is past already. The hips with Birchas HaMazon, and he loses the opportunity to recite the Birchas HaMazon. And now suppose he wants to eat anew. That's the Mogen Avraham sheyachzir yivorach hamaitzi. The Mogen Avraham paskens not only does he can't bench on what's past, but he has to make a new hamaitzi. Afilu lo v'siach daito adayin, even if he was still intending to continue eating. The Tevus in his akil amosin hifstid gam brocha rishayna. Since the first achilo disappeared, so you can't say that he's still involved in the first achilo, it ended. Well, harbi achoren and plege alei savrei the brocha rishayna lo hifstid, hosha lo v'siach daito bentayin. As long as he intended to keep on going, even though he made a lengthy break, so one doesn't lose the bracha rishayna. That's the way the Chabad Chaim passes. But the birchas hamazon is down the tubes. So he says, well, how do you gauge it? It has to be raw of machmas osu achilo. Nira shavol afuke, imu mishayar, shavol osu achilo levado ayak vashir les akko. From that which he ate previously, that he has to bench for, the meal, he would be hungry if he just based on that food. But Yechoydol Yosro, Uvod Eizem Meshach, Ochol Od Mishorim Minim Zoynes, but from in between the meal and now, he ate other things, subsequent to the meal. Umach was Eilu Adwarim Eino Rav, and now he happens to be not hungry, but not because of the meal. The meal is history. But he's already engaged in resupplying himself. So consequently, he's not hungry. Then va'achal kach nitzka shel berach birchas hamazon achar achilu rishayna. And now he remembers that way back when I actually washed and ate a meal, I forgot to bench. Lo yochal avorachol birchas hamazon shekvar botul oyach achilu. So that achila ended. Vamed v'ramu v'ramu sheachal shalom arachilos rishayna yisiach daitim u'leachalot. Avol ho Yaakov v'meshach suda achas. Supposing, or the situation that I described is he finished eating, and then he was, whatever he was doing, and much later he snacked on something, and then he realized he didn't bench. But suppose one goes, for example, to a chasana, and the length is from the beginning of the meal to the end of the meal is very lengthy. We didn't invent this in America, you know. Fab lengthy happenings in European society too. He says if you calculate from the little bit of challah that they ate at the middle of the beginning of the meal, that itself they long digested by the time they got to the end of the meal. Based on what he ate, came into the toch, meshach hazeh, yichlum paparois, v'kistin, they ate all types of other things other than bread, v'shoysen, akol suda achasi. This is all considered one suda, v'shalot es akol mozun arishin dami, it's as if the first food hasn't left yet. So therefore, at a very lengthy meal, that one would be able to keep on reciting the birchas, to recite the birchas of mozun at the end, because he's still involved in one meal, no matter how lengthy that meal might have been.
How long does that keep up?
I guess as long as the person can survive it.
Like a snack, you snack. Yeah. You didn't do the snacks during the day.
Well, that's different. That's probably more like the first situation. In other words, where a person finished his meal, and then he's coming back later to add, you know, that's the first situation. You're getting something like a chasana meal, which, you know, there's some courses and breaks, and courses and breaks, you know.
But what about a
pasta where you
wash the
shmolik
before, and then you have a long break for the
cooker,
and then you eat the meal? Can the one,
can
you have one
benching
that
covers? You're probably better off if you benched after the shmolik in such
a case.
You're probably better off. Or
not wash.
Well, not washing with the shmolik. If one who washes, if the shmolik is put as ashrei like. Because if one is not careful, that's not really the point of tonight's shiur. But if one is not careful at a smorgasbord, one's going to be mechuyev in birchas hamazon. If you know people eat significantly, and if you eat even a little bit of cake at the beginning or crackers, together with everything else that you're eating, there are places that say even a kazayas of crackers is enough when combined with the whole. A hefty amount of other food which can take place at a shmolik is what we mechuyev from birchas hamazon. And the Aruch HaShulchan is quite concerned about this problem.
If you, let's say, had some candy during the cook, would that connect the two?
Well, maybe you could say it's connected, you know. You know, if there wouldn't be an absolute break, you know. But it's not absolutely clear.
Pat, we're talking about Lamaintz when we're trying to gauge these things. I mean, so is that practical to really try to gauge these?
Yeah, it's practical. And listen, Colzman, that you don't really feel hungry again, he says, so you could...
Hence what, for something sweet, you always have room.
No, he's not talking that if you gave, you know, something special,
chocolate,
unique, or whatever, that a person could eat under almost any circumstance. He's talking, if I offered you another piece of chicken, would you look at it now? You know, that's what we're talking about. Now, in 1D Kafachayim, which is written by a Swadesh of Goyin of early in the 20th century, wants to compare this halacha, in fact, to the halacha in Yoredeya, that after a fleish gemil, you can't eat milchiks for 6 hours, because only at that point is it considered fully digested. So he wants to say after a very heavy meal, that you would even have up to 6 hours done. That's like the most outside point that I've seen defined by anyone for this halacha.
To bench,
yeah.
Now, also the problem with the smorgasbord, is it better than at a smorgasbord, no matter how much you eat, just to make sure not to make any mazonos, and then you wouldn't have a problem?
But if you wouldn't have mazonos...
At all.
In other words, crackers. In other words, those type of things.
If you don't have any crackers...
And
I just have meat and whatever,
then a huge amount.
We
paskin, it's a machlokes in the Gemara and Brochus, that if you have kedei sviel from things without any pas, now pas, we're talking either cake, crackers, or bread, whatever it may be. So whether one has to recite the Birchas Hamazon, there's one view in the Tanoim that obligates us in Birchas Hamazon, but the Pesach Halacha is not like that. So if you avoid any mezonos, then you can't wind up with the chiyuv of Birchas Hamazon.
But if you eat mezonos and you eat to fill, you should really bench.
That's really, you know, if you're eating crackers, for example, a mezonos bread, and you're eating a significant amount of the smorgasbord, you're going to have a chiyuv deraisa of benching.
So at a normal supper, for example, if somebody doesn't want to wash because he doesn't want to eat bread because of dietary reasons,
yeah,
he doesn't want to gain weight.
Yeah.
But if he eats some crackers and he's eating kigay sviya, he should have to bench.
So therefore he doesn't, exactly.
He should definitely, in other words, he may have avoided the bread, but he still has to bench.
Yeah, it's more than that, because if one intends to do that at the beginning of the meal, one has to wash, one has to recite hamoitzi.
On the cracker.
Yes. So you really, how much did you gain? You might as well just have a little piece of bread, you know.
You have to eat a kezayis with the bread.
Ah, okay, so you're also eating a kezayis, so what did you gain?
Yes, kezayis
with bread. However you want to gauge it, but I don't think that the older would be as much difference between them.
So we should follow that? If you eat a kezayis with a good amount of food?
The emotions are tzal paskin that way, yeah. So therefore, it's not a good situation to get involved in.
I'm just saying, because people don't eat bread.
I had an idea once, which that suppose a person ate, for example, some mezonos at the beginning, and then one decided that he's not eating any more mezonos at that point. And then from that point on, he would eat other things that he might not wind up with a chiyuv and birchas hamazon. That could be. Because there's no connection between the mezonos and the meal, perhaps. It's a thought.
Without saying al mechir. Would have said al mechir, that's definitely.
Yeah. Yes.
So just in an extreme case, if somebody who just eats a kezayis or somebody who's dieting, and never some people who never feel full, so then they would have a much shorter time for losing benching?
Yeah. By ultimately, the Chofetz Chaim, is a big makel in this halacha. Because the halacha really defines no clear-cut shir for what, by a small amount of food, what's the sof pasuk, what's the last time that one could recite the bracha achrona is not clearly defined in the halacha. Even in the Gemara, whatever, there's a machlokus in the Gemara, but it's unclear exactly how that works out, halacha l'maisa. The Chofetz Chaim is a very big makel that he allows a person, even on a very small amount of food, to up to 72 minutes to be able to recite the Brocha Achrona. But that's not fully clear. Which again brings us back to the fact, normative practice should be when a person finishes eating, then he recites the Birchas Hamazon or Brocha Achrona without waiting around. That should be normative practice. Then one will be Yotzei L'chatchila.
Back to the crackers. What's the value for the crackers?
No, the question that's sphere from the crackers.
No, I'm saying for the meal for the crackers. I mean,
is that a kazayas of crackers?
No, kazayas of crackers, but how full do you have to be from that meal?
We're talking, you ate a full meal together.
Say somebody like never eats, you know, he's always out dieting. He's never like full, you know, so that person. What's the measure?
That person, for that person, that's the person that's, he's used to eating small amounts.
It's not a satiated feeling, it's just that's my meal.
I said if one ate them and I decided I'm stopping to eat them, I ate a few crackers at the beginning and now I'm not going to eat any more crackers, now I'm going to eat meat afterwards.
Right.
That he's saying it could very well be that you don't have to bench and such.
If the guy gets a closer to small meat and stuff with them, and then at the end he takes some crackers.
Yeah, whatever.
Or dessert as a cake. That would create the fear at that point.
L'chaira, that would. Yeah. That could also perhaps create the fear. It's not, you know, it's the best situation is either to wash or I'll come for the chuppah.
It's only noodles, so you're okay, right?
Yeah, noodles, pasta does not have tzuras apas. So one could eat a trainload of noodles and one wouldn't have to bench.
Cake, yes. Crackers, any cake?
Huh?
Crackers, any cake though. Any cake.
Cake, yeah. Yeah.
Barley or something like that, or
cooked barley is also, yeah.
It's okay?
Yes. That you can never have to bench on.
Rice cakes
you also never have to bench on. It's a chamesh or
something. It's about one of the five species.
One of the five species, yeah.
You could even have sometimes
a kitchen
had a very elaborate
kitchen. Oh yeah, you know,
so you should wash and make a matzah. Really.
That's all. The people that are mechaber do a dulkalach by those kedushim. It's not a bad idea.
Or if not, you should really wash on the cake. You know that you're going to eat g'day sphere because it's a big kiddush.
Yeah.
So you should really wash and make a matzah on the cake.
The best is on Shabbos. The truth is, you best off you should wash altogether. At least that it should the town pursue the Shabbos.
But I'm just saying, let's say there are no bulgur, so you should take a piece of cake and wash and make a motzi on the cake.
Yeah, you do that too. But it's, you know.
And then add it to your wife while you don't have.
Well, that's beintach or beintach. He's talking, he's eating that much. That is, you know, resolving the problem in Hilchos Brochos didn't, you know.
Then should be an apology that Hakadosh should have bulgur, because a lot of people will be eating this year by Hakadosh, right?
And this, it wouldn't be a bad idea. It wouldn't be a bad idea.
Because we have left both of us from previous. We could actually take them out and defrost them and then they would be gone.
Now, so this is this man that one has for the recitation of Birchas HaMozim. Now, Birchas HaMozim is a very chomer dikahalocho, in the sense that in Birchas HaMozim, a person, we're very machmer in certain regards, even as much as tefillah, that a person should not be mafsik at all in the middle of Birchas HaMozim, because it's a deraisa dikahalocho. Now, this is a very The Shulchan Aruch writes that when could one be mitzi someone else with Birchas HaMozim? That's assuming that people understand Lashon HaKodesh. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Assuming that the listeners understand Lashon HaKodesh, one could be mighty others at Birchas HaMozim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Now, this would tend to be, if this would be the halacha, remain the halacha, a very, very major obstacle. because many times there are unlettered people that are not capable of reciting the Birchas Hamazon. So if we say that the bar is that they have to know Lashon HaKodesh, and until they know Lashon HaKodesh, we can't be mighty them, then we have a major problem. And how they're going to be yotzei. There are two types of solutions to this problem. One solution is the fact that Birchas HaMazon is Nemar B'chol Lashon. One could recite Birchas HaMazon in any language. Now here we have even a greater latitude than in some other parts of the davening. Now therefore, if one has a guest, they don't know the bench in Lashon Kodesh. If we give them a bench, and they can recite the bench in any language. That's number one. Now, the reason I say that we have more latitude is because there's no halacha kitzidron. You don't have to worry that the words should be in exact order. Rabbi Eger has a phenomenal chiddush l'chumra. It's not in the Chubas of the Kivayegah, it's a letter that he wrote. The Gemara says that one could be Yotzei Kriya Shema B'chol Loshen. Shema implies B'chol Loshen Sha'at HaShomayah. So the Kivayegah was asked at his time, can one be Yotzei Kriya Shema in German? He was a Rav in Germany. So the Kivayegah replied that one cannot be Yotzei Kriya Shema in German. Why? Because he says, since the Gemara says v'hoyu advarim ha'ilim to have a yosin, that it has to be in order, it can't be out of order. So Mameila, he said, the German syntax and the Hebrew syntax are different. And therefore, if we translate it into German, the words are going to come out in a different order than they come out in Lashon Kodesh. So he said, you can't be yotzei in such a fashion, even though in German that's how you sequence the words, but since the sequence will occur differently than it does in Lashon Kodesh, he says you're not Yetzir. Adi Gemara says he could be Yetzir. So he says, obviously they knew how to write in languages which had a syntax which was similar to Lashon Kodesh. Now, as we know, for example, the basic difference between Lashon Kodesh and English. In the English language, the adjective comes before the noun. So, if you, for example, in the English language, we have the White House. In the Brit, if you refer to the White House, you refer to Habayat HaLavan. Like the noun comes first and the adjectives come second. So, this is a limitation in Kriya Shema. Birchas HaMazon, even though it's not the Duraisa, would not be restricted by the same limitation. That's number one. Number two, the Chofetz Chaim says the minhag has emerged that one can read the Birchas HaMazon for those that are not capable, and as long as they listen and answer Amen, that they're Yotzei. And this is what has emerged, been accepted by Klal Yisrael, that particular view. So even though they don't understand Lashon Kodesh, as long as they listen, then they can be Yotzei in that fashion. A little less practical, but sometimes doable, if the person has enough facility with Lashon Kodesh that they could repeat the words after the Mavara, that certainly would be good L'chol HaDayos. But that's not always the case. I mean, I often have guests that come on Purim to my house. And one of them is not capable of reading Lashon Kodesh. She can't read Lashon Kodesh. So, what can I do for Birchas HaMazon? So I recite the Birchas HaMazon out loud. And they yotzei with that. So that's, you know, without that, so it would be very, very difficult. I mean, if the mitzvah deraisa, how would we fulfill the mitzvah? So it's rather fortunate that the halacha adopted this particular view that in Lashon Kodesh we could be mitzvah a person even if he doesn't understand Lashon Kodesh. Now, the Shulchan Aruch continues, Tzorach Shiyashmiya La'ozma Masham Mitzvah B'Sfosah. That in Birchas HaMazon, we have to hear that which we recite. Avalim hira b'libo lo yotze. That if a person just thinks the words, he's not yotze. We have to actually articulate the words. That the Morgan Avram writes, v'eir machmas choyli ha'inus. If a person for some reason could not recite the words, then the halacha is and he's berach birchas hamazon b'libo. He just thinks the words of birchas hamazon is yotzah. But the Chabad Chaim explains that yotzah lo legamri koma, because the hakaim alon here alaf kedibrodom. It's a debate in shas. Is that which we think is the equivalent of expressing it verbally or not? Are we passing that it's not? Other words, alone with the Rabbanim b'shoshenu yochel levorach yahar b'libo. That the Magen Avraham means that a person, if he's incapable of benching for some reason, at least you should think to benching. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yikvul oschar avuzer. Avol be'etzem ena yetze is really not sufficient to fulfill the halacha. Now he adds one more thing. Yesh mishaomer the balabayis and bara v'ishto tzorach levorach b'kol rom kadesh sheyetzu b'merchasa. The balabayis should recite it out loud so that everyone should be yetze with him. So he writes, "V'heina v'heino kishena b'kiyim ba'atzma levorach." When yotze b'shmiyosam imenu, so they have to hear. The yesh kosvu, and this yesh kosvu is what I wanted to get to. The toiv la'olam levorach b'kol. That one should always bench out loud, not bench silently. Kol rom ki akol ma'orir akavona. Because when a person benches out loud, it's easier to have kavona. But we're prat to shabbos or shchaydish, and especially if one has to recite retei yalav b'yovo. Is more likely to be attentive to the words when he's reciting them kol rom than if he recites them silently. So the Chabad Chaim was in favor that we should bench in a much more audible fashion than we tend to bench.
It distracts other people.
So one has to, you know.
I've been there, and distracts people are benching out loud with a lot of kavana.
So you can't do it on the cheshbon of other people if they get distracted. All our lives are the balance, you know. We can't put ourselves up, you know, at the expense of everyone else in the world.
Singing it. When people in the congregation sing it, they sing it together.
Yeah,
you don't lose your
cover. There's a mile to that. There is, very interesting. They have a minig. I have a nephew, by marriage. And his grandfather is, one of his grandfathers was a very great dayan. He's still living. He's a very, very old man. He was a great dayan in Eretz Yisrael. Malevsky, I think, was his name, if I remember correctly. And they have a minig in their family that on Shabbos, I don't know if it's all the meals or one of the meals, but they bench together out loud. That's the minig that he, I don't know if it's from early Yedoris from him, or he established it. That's the minig of his mishpacha. Shabbos, they bench together out loud. So we see the chashivas of kol rom, of benching at least al kolponim, if we can't do it on the cheshbon of others, but at least from reading by ourselves, we could do it. That much we could do. You know, so if we can't always do it because it'll interfere with others, but when it won't interfere with others, you certainly should do it. I was once at a shir many, many years ago when Rav Shlomo Druman, was a Rav in Canarsie. So he was talking about Kavona by Tefillah. So one of the Balabatim said, but Rebbe, he said, we have to rush to work. So of course, you know, it's difficult to daven to have such Kavona. So I remember his Ryan, so he said, that's true, he says. But on Shabbos and Sunday we rush to. So when we hold our pockets, at least when we have the opportunity, is to attempt to bench in a more enhanced fashion in light of the fact that this is a bracha that's minatara, one of the few brachas that is minatara.